Well, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 19. I'm just going to briefly share with you out of this passage, but please stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." May our Lord minister his truth to each one of our hearts in his perfect counsel for Jesus' sake and our children's hearts as well. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's the account of these 10 lepers who come to Jesus for cleansing. Familiar passage of the Bible. Excuse me. Well, this Thursday is already, as Tim mentioned, Thanksgiving. Advent season actually begins December 3rd, but it's always been, for me, Thanksgiving to me has always really just been like the beginning of Christmas season, Advent season. I'm already thinking of Christmas at that point. Thanksgiving's a time for family and feasting and football. We used to work with a guy who was a, I don't watch football, but we worked with a guy who was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and every year he complained, "Why is it always the Dallas Cowboys that get a play on Thanksgiving Day?" And it really bothered him. But it's a time for us to, we all get together with family, or most of us. A lot of people, though, you've probably heard this, I've heard it, say Happy Turkey Day as you're leaving work on Wednesday. Don't even call it Thanksgiving anymore. But it's a time to express thankfulness to God for his many blessings. We think of the pilgrims and the Native Americans who God used to preserve their lives that first winter, is it 1621? But there was even one before that. But people have celebrated different times of Thanksgiving off and on, but it became a national holiday in the middle of the Civil War when President Abraham Lincoln, in fact, it's in your bulletins this morning. We went ahead and put it in there, his Thanksgiving proclamation. I would encourage you to read it, pray about it. I think you'll find it fascinating. He's clearly talking about the God of the Bible. Somebody forgot to tell Abraham Lincoln about this supposed separation of church and state. He's talking about the God of the Bible, thanking him for his providential blessings. And also a time to repent of, he says, our national perversity and rebellion or wickedness, however he puts it. 170 years later, if he could see us now, we still have great perversity, national perversity and evil that we need to repent of. But even in the midst of this civil war, giving thanks that God has kept other nations from coming in and attacking us in the middle of that, the way he's brought his blessings and all, a time to give God thanks. And that's the whole purpose of Thanksgiving, is a time to to give God thanks. And as we're, you know, gathering together on Thursday, you know, if we were living, if the Mosaic Old Testament ceremonial laws were in effect now, and if we were lepers, we wouldn't be having Thanksgiving with our family. Maybe off from a distance, they may bring some food out there instead of their income, get it or something, but you had to stay away from everybody if you were a leper. Leprosy in Old Testament Israel, it is actually, if you read through Leviticus, it refers to, there's several different skin diseases and disorders, not just Hansen's disease, which is what we call leprosy now, but all kinds of things you could get. But if you had leprosy, you were ostracized. You couldn't hug your wife. You couldn't hug your children. You couldn't stay with them. You couldn't participate in the covenant people and the things they do and their celebrations. You would have to stay. If you were approaching somebody from a distance, you would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so they would keep the distance. Of course, obvious reasons, you don't want a contagious disease to spread. But there were also ceremonial reasons. The Old Testament ceremonies typified different things. And one thing leprosy was a type or a picture of sin and a reminder that God is holy and he requires cleanness, spiritual cleanness among his people and purity. And it was a picture of the need for cleansing from our sin. And so it would be a very difficult thing to be a leper. Well, let's just briefly look at the account here. In verse 11, now it happened as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way ultimately to the cross. Excuse me. And he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they no doubt had heard of his ability to perform miracles and the healings he had been doing. And they cry out to him for maybe he'll heal us. Imagine if we could be cleansed from this. In verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." The Old Testament priests, among their different duties, one of them was they were health inspectors, essentially. They would, the book itself, I think it's chapters 13 and 14, will prescribe how they're to examine people. And the priest had to be the one to pronounce you clean if you were cleansed of your leprosy. So Jesus is saying, go and show yourselves to the priests. And when he tells them to go, they still are lepers. So they at least trusted Jesus. They at least believed him enough to do what he said. Go show yourselves to the priest. And says, on their way, they were cleansed. All of a sudden, you're looking at your buddies and you're not lepers anymore. Imagine the event that would be in your life. I could go back home to my wife. I could go back home to my children. Who knows how long it's been since I've been able to hug them or touch them or stay in the house with them. In verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, recognizing this was God healing through the Lord Jesus Christ and thanking him for the healing. And then Luke adds these words, and he was a Samaritan. What's a Samaritan? Remember when we went through John chapter 4, the woman at the well was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were the result of, in 722 BC, when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, and they took a lot of, that's the way you would do when you conquer people, to keep them from planning things and so forth, transported them to other places, and then they brought people from other places they had conquered and brought them in to the northern kingdom, and there were still Jews there, and they intermarried. And so they were Jews and Gentiles intermarrying. And the Gentiles brought their pagan religion while at the same time adopting the Jewish religion. So there was syncretism, the religion, mixing religions together. So there was, since that time, by the time of Jesus, Jews and Samaritans had no dealings with one another. They despised each other. The Jews looked at Samaritans as half-breeds. They're not true Jews. And as heretics, their religion is false. It's been corrupted by paganism. They had nothing to do with one another. Interesting, these, presumably the other nine were Jews. The only one is mentioned as a Samaritan. Interesting, leprosy breaks down those barriers, right? They're all hanging out with each other while they have leprosy. It has a way of doing that. But verse 17, Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Where are the Jews? Where are the covenant people? Where are the people who've had the oracles of God and the blessings and so forth? Why aren't they here? Why is this despised Samaritan the only one? And then Jesus said to him in verse 19, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Literally, your faith has saved you. This man was not just physically cleansed. He was spiritually cleansed. He's born again. But one of the 9 came to give thanks. You'd be excited. You'd want to run and tell everybody. But this one still came back to thank the Lord. You know, Romans 1 says one of the root primordial sins of fallen humanity is a lack of gratitude, a lack of thankfulness to God. They knew him as God. Everybody knows God through direct, immediate revelation of his spirit to them and through the things that are made and through his law written on their hearts. But it says they didn't glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. It's a sign of unregenerate humanity to not be thankful to God. It's one of the characteristics of fallen man is he doesn't thank God for anything. He's one of the characteristics of born-again people is they are thankful to God. They do thank him. They are grateful to him. But even us as Christians, we still have that the sinful nature dragging us back, and none of us are as thankful to God as we ought to be. And we tend to complain and murmur and to just forget his blessings. And it doesn't help where we're in a culture right now of entitlement, where this whole attitude of entitlement has just settled upon millions like a blanket. And you hear people will talk about like God owes them something. People will talk about, I heard a guy just recently, people have dark clouds come over their houses. Well, if it's going to be my house, there's going to be 2 clouds. I'm going to be the one that's going to have the difficulty. Whatever the thing may be, when it comes to me, you can guarantee it's going to be a lot harder for me. I'm going to have a lot more problems with it. I'm going to run into stuff other people don't run into. You know, should have known it was going to rain. I washed the car yesterday, as if Almighty God was moved by you washing your car to change the weather patterns. We have to remember God owes us nothing but a lake of fire. I agree with those who say the steps to gratefulness and thankfulness, they begin with, first of all, humility. Seeing yourself as you really are. Seeing yourself as an undeserving sinner saved by grace. A brand snatched from the fire. By the mere grace of God. Nothing, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And to see yourself as you really are, that's what humility is, just seeing yourself realistically. God owes me nothing, but he graciously gives me all kinds of things, not to mention the greatest one, which is my salvation in Christ. And the other thing is contentment. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Be content with things as they are, content with what you have, what God's given you, not to look at the other person and why did they get the promotion? Why do they have this? How come they seem to have no trouble? Oh, you'd be surprised. They have trouble. They probably think you seem to have no trouble. To be content with what God has given us, to be satisfied with it. The grass is always greener on the other side. And if you combine humility with contentment, that produces gratitude. That produces a heart of thanksgiving to God for his many blessings. Paul said, contentment is something we have to learn. It doesn't just happen to us. We've got to learn to be content. So we're going to take some time today. We're going to talk about things we thank God for, and hopefully Thursday as well. But I wanted to share one more thing briefly from Daniel chapter 6. You don't need to turn there. You can if you want. We're to be thankful every day continuously. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was taken away from his family and taken to Babylon by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar's people, and Daniel was raised up to a position of leadership serving under King Nebuchadnezzar. And then Babylon was overthrown, conquered by the Medo-Persians. And Darius the king reigned. And the cream rises to the top. Daniel rose again. He probably just stayed across. They saw his qualities. They heard of him. There were only three governors, and Daniel was one of the governors. And the other people were jealous of him, and we got to find a way to trip this guy up. And the only way we're going to do it is through his religion. He will not bend on his religion. And so they came to King Darius, and they asked him to make a decree that for 30 days, no one can petition any god or any man but you, O king. They can't pray to anybody else. They have to come to you. And Darius signed it. And in verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Was Daniel rebelling against it? Did Daniel hear that decree and say, you know what? No, I don't think so. I'll just take my stand here. So this is where the whole lion's den thing ends up. So, you know what? Just throw me in the lion's den. I'm not going to bend to your decree. Is he rebelling against it? No, not at all. It says he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel's not being defiant. Daniel's just being Daniel. Church just needs to keep being the church, come what may. And I'm just doing what I've always done. I've always prayed three times a day toward Jerusalem. I'm not going to stop now. But every single time, he made sure to give thanks to God. We're to be a people who are just continually thanking God for his many blessings. And so we're going to take the rest of our time. If you have to go at some point, understand. But just to open up the pulpit, the microphone, to come and share things you're thankful to God for. Blessings of this last year, whatever it may be. Be cognizant of everybody else's time. You almost take a few minutes, just 5 minutes or less, but just to share something that you're thankful to God for. It's been such a blessing in the past hearing things God has done, particularly in your lives, and those things are encouraging to each of us, and they encourage us to bring things before God when we see how he has blessed our brothers and sisters. And then when it seems like we're done, I'll come up and close us in prayer, and worship team will close us. Of course, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church family. One thing I was thinking of, though, is when we read this thing from Abraham Lincoln, I'm thankful that God's given us a holiday to remind us that we need to be thankful. But we'll open this up for the rest of y'all, please come.